World Ain't Ready, a Les Mis fanfic written by Idiopathic Smile and read by Full Day's Drive. Chapter 11. Grantaire has entered a strange and terrible dream world, where he can do things like mumble, "If you put your arm around me, maybe." And Angelos will scoot closer and carefully drape his arm around Grantaire's waist, with no witnesses, no audience to speak of. And when Grantaire startles and then tries to relax, Angelos will simply say something like, "It'll be more convincing if we're already," when she walks in. In a totally reasonable tone of voice.
"In medias res, gotcha," says Grantaire.
He doesn't point out that they still have no idea when Fantine's getting back, which means they could theoretically be stuck like this for a long time. Angelos has to be smart enough to know this, and doesn't seem to have a problem with it, so maybe he wasn't all that angry after all. Or maybe he should see a doctor about his intense loathing of consumer economics. Or maybe it's been a stressful couple of months, and people don't touch him because he's terrifying, so he's short on hugs. What? Angelos is looking over at him, and Grantaire has no idea what's on his face, but it's got to be giving something away. He slides down to tuck his head under Angelos's chin, against his sternum. It twists Grantaire's body in a way that's not entirely comfortable, but his whole side is warm, and he can feel Angelos's throat work against the crown of his head, through his hair. He tracks the rise and fall of two breaths, and then Angelos says, "What are..."
"Shh," Grantaire whispers.
"I'm sleeping."
"With one hand pressed to your eye?"
Angelos points out, hushed like he's half bought into Grantaire's premise anyway. Grantaire had almost forgotten about the ice pack. At this point, that arm is basically numb from fingertips to elbow. He shrugs the opposite shoulder, which Angelos has to be able to feel.
"Although, if you pretended to be asleep, you could lay on your side and I could hold the ice in place," says Angelos.
The idea appeals to Grantaire's sore shoulder, but he says, regretfully,
"That pretty much defeats the purpose of... If I'm not conscious, you don't have much of a reason to hang around."
"Maybe," says Angelos,
"you could kind of lay on me, so I wouldn't be able to leave without waking you up."
"How?" says Grantaire.
"Like, without, crushing you."
Angelos coughs.
"Not on top of me, but you could, like... rest your head on my leg, if you're okay with it."
Is Grantaire okay with resting his head on Angelos's leg?
Very okay.
Painfully okay. Not okay at all.
"I mean," he hears himself say, "if it doesn't bother you, I think it's a good plan."
"Wait," says Angelos.
Get up for a sec."
It feels like dragging an iron bar away from a magnet, but Grantaire pulls himself up again. Angelos stretches away, towards the wall. The room is small enough that Angelos can just barely reach the light switch from the cot. He clicks off the lights, and everything goes completely dark because, yeah, there are no windows.
"If you're hoping to trick her," says Grantaire, "I mean, the second she opens the door, the light's gonna flood in."
"Counting on it," Angelos's voice floats back.
"If she disrupts us just by coming in, it'll put her on the defensive for the rest of the conversation. Probably makes the sleeping more convincing, too."
Grantaire frowns into the darkness. There's a long pause, and he wonders if they're both stuck on the same awkward riddle.
How am I going to get into place blind and one-handed?"
he mutters, trying to flex his lifeless fingers on the ice pack.
"I can help you down,"
says Angelos, like it's nothing.
Where's your arm?"
Fantine could come back at any second. There's no time to freeze up. Grantaire reaches out, finds Angelos's wrist on the third try, and places it on his own bicep.
"Here you go,"
Grantaire says. At least with the lights killed, he can grimace at himself in peace.
"Good,"
says Angelos.
"Okay, so..."
The hand on Grantaire's arm trails up to his neck to cup the back of his head, very gently. Grantaire swallows and reminds himself that the situation is ridiculous. A farce.
If you can scoot to the side and lean back,
says Enjolras. And Grantaire does. Because Enjolras's fingers are in his hair, and Grantaire is only one man. Enjolras helps him down. It takes about 5 times longer than it has any right to, because Enjolras is absurdly careful. They move so slowly, Grantaire can only imagine how stupid it would look with the lights on. Some kind of bizarre underwater mime routine.
Okay,
says Enjolras, when they finally transferred custody of the ice pack and managed to get Grantaire lying curled up on his side, head pillowed against what Grantaire is telling himself is Enjolras's calf, even though it feels a lot more like thigh. Because thinking about lying with his face that close to Enjolras's crotch is an express ticket to madness. Great, says Grantaire. Lovely.
Shh, Fantine, Enjolras stage whispers. My boyfriend's sleeping. I don't want to wake him up.
Grantaire takes a moment to appreciate the full manipulative power of the scene Enjolras has just put together. Whoa, man, he says. You're like an evil genius.
Thanks,
says Enjolras dryly. Grantaire's head is at an awkward angle. He twists about an inch, telegraphing it as much as he can, but Enjolras is so careful about holding the ice pack steady, he seems to forget that some of Grantaire's hair is tangled in his fingers, which means a light momentary tug, which means Grantaire lets out a completely embarrassing sound just as his cheek brushes against the surface of Enjolras's jeans, and Grantaire hates everything. Absolutely everything.
Did that hurt?
Says Enjolras, because bless that total idiot, he can't tell the difference between a pain noise and a painfully turned on noise. But he also sounds genuinely worried, so Grantaire manages to choke out a, no, no, you're fine. There's a silence that Grantaire can't gauge, because Enjolras has gone still, and without being able to see or hear him, the only senses left are smell and taste. Enjolras has his usual vaguely citrus scent, and licking him is firmly out of the question, so options are limited. In case Enjolras is using this moment to beat himself up about things way beyond his control, and given his apparent martyr complex, it feels like a possibility, Grantaire finds himself babbling reassurances.
It doesn't hurt, I swear. Pretty much the opposite, in fact, he says.
God, Grantaire could kick himself. He could kick himself in the face. He would violate all laws of physics and also human anatomy if only he could shut himself up.
Courfeyrac's always singing the praises of head rubs, Enjolras says. Do you think it'd help? To take your mind off the eye?
He runs his fingernails lightly through Grantaire's hair, up and back down, and Grantaire blessedly remembers how to shut up. He forgets every word of the English language instead, but it feels like a fair trade. Grantaire's scalp is tingling. He bites his lip, lets himself relax into it. What eye? He mumbles. Enjolras breathes out, almost a laugh.
Were you a cat in a previous life?
Maybe. Grantaire considers this.
I always thought I'd be pretty good at hiding under furniture and shitting in a box.
Be serious, says Enjolras. Meow, says Grantaire. Enjolras huffs, annoyance or half a laugh. Grantaire can't be sure in the dark, just feels the air against his face.
I mean,
Enjolras persists, because this is a thing about him. He has a hard time letting a thought go until he's all the way done with it. Grantaire has a sense that Courfeyrac's non sequiturs and Combeferre's tangents both annoy and delight him. Loops in the path, where Enjolras would always rather be moving forward.
When someone scratches your head, you go boneless.
Boneless. What a word. But his brain doesn't even know how to panic with the way his scalp is buzzing under Enjolras' fingers. If he had the capacity for alarm right now, it would probably bother him how he's kind of arching his neck for more.
It's okay. Enjolras can't tell, he reminds himself.
Superhero aspirations aside, the guy doesn't have night vision. Granted, Grantaire says, very belatedly.
I'm not, like, amazing at science, but I'm 90% sure cats have bones. Floppy, then, says Enjolras. You've pet a cat before, right?
If Grantaire thinks of what Enjolras is doing right now as petting, he will lose his mind.
Why can't I be a dog?
He says instead.
Dogs are fun. Cats just kill things and hate you.
Eponine had a cat when they first met, and then abruptly she didn't have one anymore, and wouldn't talk about it. Grantaire spent the following year trying to convince himself it ran away or got hit by a car. Something normal. He never quite got there. There's a soft rustling that might be Enjolras shaking his head.
Dogs are simple. Cats are simple,
Grantaire retorts.
A cat brain has the same number of neurons as the human stomach. The stomach, Enjolras.
Enjolras makes a sound in his throat.
Why do you do that?
Do what?
10 seconds ago, you said you couldn't do science, and then...
Party trivia isn't the same as knowing stuff, says Grantaire.
Party trivia, says Enjolras.
Yeah?
Do you go around saying that at parties?
Sure, says Grantaire, a little breathy because Enjolras' fingers have worked their way to the soft hair at the nape of his neck.
Every party I go to, it's 2 drinks and then, who wants to hear about cat brains? It's a big hit, let me tell you.
Will you be breaking that out at Combeferre's party?
Laser tag?
Well, no, Grantaire says patiently.
Because it's happening after prom, so...
Right. Enjolras sounds gruff, maybe like he's expecting Grantaire to make fun of him for being such a space case. It's a walking into closed doors thinking about affirmative action move. Grantaire wants to tell him not to worry. He can't think of a single joke to make. He's got no idea how the deadline would slip Enjolras' mind, since God knows it hasn't left Grantaire's since Friday. Enjolras' fingers start to lift away, and maybe Grantaire chases after them an inch or two.
Hey, he says, what if she walks in? I'm starting to think she won't, says Enjolras,
but his hand is back in Grantaire's hair, so whatever.
Maybe she forgot. She seems pretty scattered.
Hey, that's Cosette's mom you're talking about, says Grantaire.
She's a good nurse. She didn't...
Then where is she?
She does, like, 3 people's worth of work all the time,
Grantaire says.
And they only give her half the week so they don't have to pay her benefits. She's... Shit, there's a word for it. She's like... A contractor. A part-time contractor. They can fire her whenever.
That should be illegal, says Enjolras, full of fire but still stroking Grantaire's hair, and it's everything Grantaire's ever wanted, which is why he's not surprised to hear footsteps outside. Regretfully, he makes a shushing sound, just in time for Enjolras to cut himself off before the door opens, and the black behind Grantaire's eyelids is flooded red.
Finally got that hall pass, says Fantine. So you can...
Oh. The door clicks shut and everything's dark again. Grantaire opens his mouth, and either Enjolras can feel the flex of jaw through jeans, or he's that attuned to Grantaire's usual smartass routine, because he drags the hand off Grantaire's scalp and over his lips. Fantine must not have left, he thinks. The coast isn't clear. Message received. He nods minutely, and the hand descends back into his hair.
Sorry,
Fantine whispers.
Is he asleep?
Yeah, Enjolras whispers back.
He's been so scared lately. I wanted him to get some rest if he could. He just nodded off.
Don't worry, he's a very sound sleeper, she tells him. This is not totally the case. Grantaire has logged hours dead to the world on these school cots, but that's mostly because he wasn't sleeping much at home. Something about his room had keyed him up.
Poor little guy,
she says, and Enjolras makes a hum of agreement while something in Grantaire's stomach sinks, because is this how she's been talking about him when he's not around? Like he's 5? There's quiet, and then the air stirs like Fantine's closer, leaning towards them.
I have been so worried about that boy, she whispers.
Grantaire's eyes prickle. Enjolras can probably feel how he's swallowing, almost convulsive. But Grantaire can't think of any way out of this moment. It's all humiliation. No escape.
karma punishing him for trying to use Fantine's feelings for something he wanted.
You're not the only one,
Enjolras tells her in a low voice, playing his part to a T.
We've all been trying to watch out for each other, but...
Fantine makes a sympathetic noise.
Oh no, kiddo, it's okay. You can't protect someone every second of the day. At least he's got people in his corner this time.
This time? Says Enjolras.
I'm sure he's told you all about his first year here,
she says softly, as every muscle in Grantaire's body tightens. But Enjolras only says,
Yeah, awful. I know it's a cliché, but kids really can be so cruel,
Fantine agrees.
My daughter was bullied when she was younger, for not having the right brand of shoes, all those nonsense excuses people invent. And it broke my heart, but I'll be honest, I don't know what I would have done if someone had hit her.
Enjolras' hand stops moving.
But Grantaire would never tell on anyone,
she says.
I'd ask, and he'd barely admit something was even wrong. He'd just shrug and change the subject, make bad jokes.
Grantaire frowns. He thought at least some of those jokes were funny. Come on.
That sounds like him,
says Enjolras.
It's, frustrating sometimes. You've just got to wait it out,
she says.
Make sure he feels safe, you know? And lollipops. He likes lollipops. Root beer flavor. That's his favorite.
Good memory, Enjolras whispers.
Nah,
says Fantine.
Nobody likes the root beer ones. They're the black jelly bean of suckers.
Makes sense, says Enjolras. He loves root beer. There's no reason to be surprised that this is something Enjolras knows, something he's noticed. Grantaire has a can at lunch pretty much every day. It's an easy pattern to pick up, and Enjolras is bright. Enjolras has seen him drink root beer, and mentally recorded it for whatever reason. Data about his fake boyfriend, maybe. Somewhere in Enjolras' brain, there is a folder labeled Grantaire, and in that folder, among the information stored is this, the soda Grantaire drinks without even thinking about it. Grantaire is giving this way too much thought.
It's 27 minutes until the end of the period,
says Fantine. Grantaire is stunned that she could guess so exactly, but when he cracks his eyes, there's a tiny blue rectangle hovering in the air, shedding a faint blue glow on the underside of her chin. Cell phones. Grantaire had forgotten about cell phones as a light source.
What's your next class?
She asks Enjolras.
Consumer economics,
Enjolras says.
But...
He shifts on the cot.
He's finally asleep. I don't want him to wake up and I'm not there.
This would be a pretty good line of thinking if Grantaire was a baby or a tiny child, but it strains credibility here, he thinks. A 17-year-old has the critical thinking and object permanence to understand his boyfriend hasn't stopped existing. But Fantine only says,
You don't have any tests or quizzes this hour, do you?
We're watching an informational video about malls,
says Enjolras.
Okay, I can see why you'd rather be here,
Fantine admits. And something about the shape of her vowel sounds tells him she's smiling the way he remembers.
And I know he'd rather you were, too.
She sighs. Sensing weakness, Enjolras goes in for the kill. Grantaire can hear the whisper of cloth against cloth, the slight contraction of muscle in his thigh as he leans toward her.
I don't think he's sleeping too well at home,
he says quietly.
It's been such an awful month. If I can help at all, I need to. Because I just don't know what else to do.
His voice catches. It's masterful. Grantaire never should have doubted his acting abilities.
I need to. Please.
Grantaire wonders what Enjolras' persuasive essays are like, if without the sound of his voice making each line glow, it's more obvious what a cheesy person he can be, or if he's got the conviction to sell it on paper. If his teachers are sitting there throwing down their red pens to wipe away tears, even when the prompt is, like, should we have school uniforms? Fantine only says,
Who's your teacher?
Miss. There must be only one unmarried female Conicon teacher, because Fantine says,
Oh, Dahlia? I'll send a note to the office and tell her what happened. It's fine. But when the bell rings, you do have to go to second hour. Both of you.
They've officially fooled a medical professional. Poor Fantine. Nice people. It's a hard world for them.
Yes, ma'am,
says Enjolras.
And thank you. Really.
You seem like a good kid,
she tells him.
Don't get on my bad side.
Footsteps shuffle to the door. There's a swish, a slight rush of air, and a sliver of light glowing red through Grantaire's eyelids, not nearly as much as before. A click. Given how much Enjolras talks sometimes, it's amazing how quiet he can be when that's what he wants. If there was a clock in the room, Grantaire would be able to hear every tick.
You were bullied,
Enjolras says softly. He's almost whispering. It's hard to read his tone. There's no way to deny it or shrug it off. Fantine is an inherently trustworthy person. Enjolras is bound to take her word over anything Grantaire chooses to say about it now. What Grantaire chooses to say about it is, yeah. There's a long beat, Enjolras waiting for him to fill in some blanks that Grantaire would rather leave fucking empty.
Badly,
says Enjolras.
Not really,
says Grantaire.
Not like Jeanne.
That doesn't mean anything, and you know it.
This time, even at a whisper, Grantaire can hear the agitation.
They hit you.
He doesn't say, thanks, I was there. The fact he's a little proud of this probably says a lot about him as a person. Out loud, he stammers.
Not... Fantine made it sound like it was a weekly event or something.
Pizza day, punch Grantaire day.
I could probably count on one hand the number of times anything actually needed ice or drew blood.
Enjolras huffs, not laughing. Disbelief, maybe.
Why in the world would that sound comforting to you?
It hadn't occurred to him to be comforting. It hadn't occurred to him comfort might be needed. But Enjolras takes the plights of the world so personally sometimes, big and small. Unemployed factory workers in Detroit, single moms in New York, undocumented immigrants in Houston, vets with no benefits, homeless kids, starving kids, the lack of a school recycling program, it's all part of the same thing to him. Grantaire has unknowingly added his name to the list, another water droplet in the ever-shifting cloud of wrongs to be righted. Pity. Maybe the one thing on the planet he doesn't want from Enjolras.
Get some perspective, man, says Grantaire. High school shitty. Kids have it way worse than I ever did. Every day of the week.
Yeah, says Enjolras.
But most of those kids don't suddenly stop doing everything they love and lose interest in school to the point where they...
That's not how it happened, Grantaire says heavily.
I didn't flunk ninth grade because of bullying.
He can tell Enjolras isn't buying it. He's not sure how, since they're still sitting in the dark, but he has that sense. He's proven right a second later, when Enjolras says,
Well, if it wasn't that?
Grantaire sighs. If he'd picked the room with the window, he could be halfway to the state border by now. This is a conversation he doesn't want to have with anyone, but especially not with Enjolras. People had asked him about it. For a while, a lot of people. Teachers. A couple of different child psychologists. His parents. Grantaire has never come clean. The truth isn't just depressing. It's boring.
Enjolras, he says, the reason I failed ninth grade was because it was too hard.
He wasn't expecting thunderclaps or explosions or electric guitar chords, but it still feels shocking to suddenly live in the world where he said it out loud. He put himself there. He takes a deep breath, sighs it out again.
You don't believe me,
Grantaire says into the silence. Enjolras sounds guarded, careful.
I don't think you're lying, but I think it was probably more complicated than that.
It wasn't, Grantaire tells him. Now that he started, some part of him wants to say it over and over again. Dig himself the pit. Climb down and keep digging.
And the fact that people were hitting you had nothing to do with how you suddenly couldn't concentrate enough to...
No, says Grantaire. All those years of pretending to be smart, That desperate, constant shell game. And now, when he puts it in the open, Angelos won't even accept it. Like Grantaire is just being humble or traumatized or something. It's too bad Grantaire isn't in fancy English, because then he'd probably know what kind of irony this is. Dramatic irony. Situational irony. Bang your head against a wall irony. Grantaire can't think of what else to do. He goes for the big guns. I actually flunked 8th grade algebra, he says. Nobody talks about that now, but man, it was the biggest fucking deal when it was happening. My parents sat me down, we had this big long talk. It was like 2 hours. They were all, look, you can get away with this kind of thing now, but once you're in high school, it's on your permanent record. Grantaire, this is your future at stake. Grantaire, you need to start taking this seriously. Like, basically, time to buckle down and be the freaky genius we know you can be, right? But here's the thing. He takes a deep breath. Here's something else he's never told anyone. You see, it turns out, the teacher who had recommended skipping me ahead? Totally incompetent. Like, got fired for it. She tried to get kids moved forward all the time. She was teaching on about a 2nd grade level. So anyone who was, like, even kind of bright looked like a genius. It's easier to say this in the dark, somehow. I'd never performed where I was supposed to on IQ tests. Couldn't even crack 120. Which my parents said was because it didn't stimulate my brain enough or whatever. But like, man. You know how when you're little, you can kind of have one thing and that's what you're about? Like, there's the kid who likes horses. There's the kid who likes basketball or space or whatever. I don't know. Maybe that's not universal, but like... Cowboys, says Angelos. What? That was mine. I wanted to live in Wyoming and ride a horse. Herd cattle. It's so amazing. Grantaire forgets about his story for a second. He wants to carry this piece of information in his palm, like sea glass. Hold it up to the light. Cows? Like, for beef? There's a rustle that's probably a shaking head. No, Angelos says. I wasn't going to kill them. I was pretty unclear about the whys. I thought maybe you could just own a lot of cows. Or not even own them, but look after them, take them for walks. You know, in nature. Jesus. Despite everything, Grantaire laughs. Or maybe he laughs because of everything. Because his problems are so stupid and the world is so big, and Angelos's life plans used to be to hang out with a bunch of cows. No end game. The ABC Corral. I hadn't quite figured out that the open range was only open due to systematic genocide, says Angelos. So that was that. He coughs. God, sorry, you were in the middle of... What were you about? Grantaire chews on his lip. Well, for a while it was bats. For a while it was space. For about a week it was karate. But I quit because I sucked. But more than that, it was just like, being smart. That was my point. Not even knowing stuff, just being smart. He's glad Angelos is the one holding the ice pack, because he's not sure he's got the strength right now. Except, like, if you're smart, you don't actually have to try that hard, you know? And I mean, I knew from pretty early on that I was working way more than anyone else in my class. I got good grades, but sometimes homework took me 6 hours a night, and I was always fucking lost in math. Combeferre's smart, Angelos points out. Combeferre is maybe the smartest person I know, and he works at it all the time. Combeferre doesn't count, says Grantaire. Combeferre's an island. Combeferre, and like Fouillé, Jeanne, all your smart friends. You guys are in it for the sheer fucking love of learning. I was just running a con on myself. Like, struggling to hold on to my grades, struggling to trick myself into thinking I wasn't struggling. I can't really tell you how not fun it was. Grantaire spends a lot of time trying not to think about his first freshman year, to the point where he can forget how bad 8th grade really was. In some ways, it was worse. Stress ulcers at 13. There's something Grantaire doesn't miss. He can't seem to make himself stop talking. It's a disease. Like, man, says Grantaire. Courfeyrac talks about doing Peter Pan and all that, but the funny thing is, other than hitting the backdrop, I don't really have, like, memories of it. I had my math textbook hidden backstage, and any time I wasn't on, I was studying. That's all I remember. Like, showing up late on cues, getting yelled at. Being the lead in the school play was this annoying distraction from algebra, which, let's remember, I still flunked. But maybe, says Enjolras, fundamentally unable to let shit go, what is his problem? If you'd had... I understand the bullying wasn't the main cause, but if kids your age had been supportive... Oh my god, dude, it was not their fault. Under Grantaire's head, Enjolras flinches. He is probably talking too loud. Grantaire lowers his voice. You know why they hassled me in 9th grade? Because I was an obnoxious little shit. Because the worse my grades got, the more bullshit I pulled. Like, just endlessly. Raising my hand to show off? Using big words like that was proving something? Talking to anyone who would listen about how totally great my GPA was? So yeah, sometimes they hit me, but believe me, it was provoked. Enjolras is frozen underneath him, the muscles in his thigh tense. Grantaire pauses, trying to imagine how this must sound from Enjolras' end. You're gonna tell me I'm victim-blaming, he says at last. He's not entirely sure Enjolras hears. I don't give a shit what you said to them, says Enjolras. There is nothing, nothing you could have done to deserve... Who was it?
What?
The people who hit you. Tell me their names. There is something a little intense in his voice. Not like that's news, exactly, but this is intensity at close quarters, in the dark. Grantaire shivers. Whatever, there's ice pressed to his face. He's allowed. Dude, they graduated years ago, he says. I'd like to say they're manning deep fryer somewhere, but I'll be real with you. They're probably all presidents of their frats. That being how life... It's disgusting, Enjolras interrupts. It's disgusting that they did that, that they got away with it, that as far as I can tell, there was literally nobody on your side. Grantaire would shake his head if he had the room. Yeah, I had no friends, but it was like, very simple cause and effect. I really can't overstate to you how fucking annoying I was. I meant the administration, says Enjolras. Teachers or coaches or your fucking parents. He wishes it wasn't quite so satisfying, hearing Enjolras drop F-bombs. He wishes he wasn't filled with an urge to record that little soundbite, play it back whenever he needs it. Grantaire realizes, a humiliated half-beat later, that there wasn't any reason for him to actually divulge how he'd had no friends. He could have told the whole story without ever letting that nugget drop. Oh, fucking well. Someone should have, Enjolras is saying. No way, man, Grantaire counters. I don't blame them at all, okay? At all. Like, imagine how I am at meetings, times 10, times 15. Nobody was gonna come to the defense of that. I would've, says Enjolras. The thing is, it's probably true. Be glad you weren't there then. Why? Grantaire is wincing just thinking about it. Because you would have never gotten rid of me. If any kid had been nice to me then, shit, it would have been over for you. Your arms forever sagging under the weight of 50 pounds of friendship bracelets. He thinks his point is well made, but Enjolras only says, I like friendship bracelets. Come on, dude. No, it's good symbolism. A bunch of threads that could snap on their own, but you braid them together. Of course, Grantaire thinks, with a fond smile that is blessedly invisible. Of course Enjolras can turn friendship bracelets into a metaphor about coalition building. He is ridiculous. Damn, Grantaire says. Maybe we would have been friends. If you'd been around then. Maybe we'd be friends now. He laughs. How's that for a mindfuck? Anteros doesn't laugh. Maybe Grantaire was being presumptuous, but it still seems rude, the way he falls silent. It feels pointed. Sorry if that's, like, too much to process, Grantaire snaps, and Anteros seems to shake himself.
No,
says Anteros. You're probably right. We would have been. It sounds so sincere. Grantaire feels like kind of a dick. He's not sure why he always assumes the worst when it comes to Anteros. With the exception of that time Grantaire made everyone think he was dead, Anteros has been pretty nice to him lately. Well, Grantaire has been pretty nice to him, too. Grantaire's passed up some prime opportunities to make fun of him. Anteros thought cowboys were basically just friends with cows. It's magnificent. The problem is that, knowing the many ways Anteros is a loser, only makes Grantaire want to hang out with him more. It's perverse. It also stirs up something Grantaire hadn't remembered until now, and suddenly can't forget. So, hey, Grantaire says, going for nonchalant, even as every tremor and minute hesitation in his voice is no doubt painfully, nakedly clear. What was that thing you wanted to talk to me about? On Friday morning? The hand in Grantaire's hair slows. Nothing, says Anteros. It was... I had a question, but it resolved itself. Grantaire has no idea what he's supposed to say to this. Well, that's convenient, he says at last. I actually... Anteros says, and then nothing. What? Says Grantaire. I had a different question, but maybe you don't want... Maybe he's gotten bored, because he's tracing small circles in Grantaire's scalp. It's distracting, but not distracting enough. Dude, Grantaire says. You can't start a sentence like that and then stop. Obviously now I need to know. And it's not going to be about Anteros liking him. Grantaire knows it's not going to be about Anteros liking him. Even if every star had aligned in Grantaire's favor, and Anteros did briefly like him at one time, Grantaire burned everything to the ground when he pulled that stunt on Friday. Grantaire knows this. He really, really does. He hopes Anteros can't feel how hard his heart is beating anyway. If you don't want to answer it, you don't have to, says Anteros. Ask the goddamn question, says Grantaire. Anteros takes a deep breath, presumably not for actual suspense-building reasons, although Grantaire is nearly yelling inside his own head. All those activities you used to do? Grantaire sighs. At himself, mostly. A little at Anteros. That wasn't about the bullying either. I quit them to focus on school, about 4 months before I flunked. Comic timing, man. At flunked, Anteros flinches. Almost imperceptible. Honor student reflexes, Grantaire thinks wryly. He remembers it well, how the threat of someday fucking up that bad had loomed over him like some impossible bogeyman. He'd lived in fear for so long, gnashing his teeth and tearing his hair like he could scare it away if he just moved fast enough, made enough noise. And when it was too late, when he finally crunched the numbers and realized he couldn't win, that it was over. It had been like climbing into a bathtub full of warm water. Failure had been waiting for him. Grantaire had made a shitty smart kid. He makes a pretty great burnout. Well, not so much at present. He's not even sure what he is now. Sorry, says Anteros. If I wasn't trying to make this like that one time in your car... That one time in my car? Grantaire echoes. So much shit has gone down within the walls of that van. There are roughly 40,000 possible candidates. The first one he jumps to is sitting camped out together in Anteros's driveway, yelling the words of the same song, like a secret they had on the rest of the world. When you came out, Anteros says, and you said it felt like I was wearing a snowsuit? I mean... It can't be like that time, says Grantaire. Not like you can turn around and tell me you also failed a year of school. Or, like, robbed a convenience store. Those things aren't comparable.
He can hear Angelos setting his jaw. It's uncanny.
Most 13-year-olds wouldn't be able to handle high school. That's why we don't put them there. I wouldn't have done well either.
Grantaire snorts.
Like anyone would have fucked with you. In 8th grade, I still cried in public,
says Angelos. Shit, thinks Grantaire. They would have knocked the crap out of him. Unthinking, he burrows closer. If anyone asks, it's because, well, Grantaire doesn't actually have a cover story this time. But the only person who could ask is Angelos, who luckily has other things on his mind.
If I could level the playing field between us, I would,
he's saying, earnest. Well, that would take one hell of a bulldozer.
It's okay,
Grantaire tells him. You don't have any big secrets.
That's not, like, your fault.
He stops talking because Angelos is shaking. With laughter, Grantaire realizes, a relieved half-second later. What the fuck? What a weirdo.
Everything all right?
Grantaire hazards.
Fine,
Angelos gasps.
I just thought of something that happened earlier.
What?
It's a long story.
Maybe Combeferre made a pun about U.S. foreign policy or something, who knows? Grantaire heaves a mental shrug.
Okay,
he says. But because Angelos had sounded serious before the mysterious giggle fit, he adds,
seriously, I accept there's no, like, dirt on you to uncover.
What does it matter, in the long run, if Grantaire lays everything out before him and Angelos has nothing to offer in return? Not like they'll be logging any quality time after this weekend.
Would it help if I told you something you could theoretically use against me?
Says Angelos. And Grantaire would never. Not in 1,000 years. But it's still not something he can turn down.
Maybe.
I use women's deodorant,
says Angelos. Grantaire laughs until his lungs ache.
Wow, sorry, I'm not laughing at you,
he manages.
Just, your sense of proportion is completely amazing.
Repeating a grade when you've been a grade ahead is not like committing a robbery,
says Angelos, who blessedly sounds more snippy about that than the laughter. Then again, let he who has not recently had a wild fit of hilarity throw the first stone.
Is it a political statement, or...
Not exactly,
says Angelos.
I just hate how men's deodorant is marketed. They can't say, it will help you smell better. It has to be, climb a rocky cliff with your bare hands while drinking beer and objectifying a woman. And it smells like my grandpa.
It's moments like these that the invisibility of an unlit room isn't worth it. Grantaire would pay good money to know what Angelos's face is doing right now.
What kind do you use?
He asks instead. And Angelos, totally unashamed, says,
I don't know what brand. I smelled every deodorant in the aisle one day and it bugged me the least. I think it's called Tropical Orange Breeze? That can't be right. Citrus Whisper? Something like that.
The mysterious scent that's been clouding Grantaire's judgment for 2.5 months is women's deodorant. It feels fitting, in a way he can't begin to explain.
Thank you,
says Grantaire, wiping at the eye that isn't covered in ice.
Thank you for that. I mean it.
It looks glittery in the tube,
says Angelos.
It might go on glittery. I'm not sure.
The thing about faking sleep while lying in a dark, quiet room with the hand carefully carding through his hair is that it only takes a lull in the conversation for the pretense to get a lot less pretend. It doesn't seem like he should be able to fall asleep again. Grantaire spent half the weekend in bed, but it turns out 3 days can't fix weeks of bone-deep tiredness. Even remembering that he's almost in Angelos's lap can't stir up enough panic to keep his eyes open, to keep his thoughts from drifting softly away. He's not sure how it happened. That first car ride home, Angelos's hand around his wrist was electrifying. Before that, all he'd been able to imagine was keeping those eyes on him for a few seconds, that note of annoyance or disbelief or surprise in Angelos's voice. Why are you here?
I could ask you the same thing, Grantaire thinks sleepily.
There are easier ways to get out of class. Ways that don't involve dark rooms and two small school cots. His head weighing down Andros's leg.
You could have just said you had a stomach ache, he thinks. And then he's gone.
The bell's ringing when he wakes up, groggily wiping at the corners of his mouth, and sincerely hoping he didn't manage to drool all over Andros's jeans. The pain in his eye has subsided for now under the double assault of Tylenol and cold, which he'll appreciate as long as he can.
Sorry,
he mutters, reaching up to retrieve the ice pack.
Not a problem, says Andros,
whose hand has probably lost all feeling.
Hang on, let me get the lights.
Neither of them are prepared for it, judging by their twin winces when the fluorescent bulbs flicker on overhead. Grantaire awkwardly levers himself back upright, seeing stars. He drops off the cot and frowns at the blurry poster. He really does feel like it used to be bigger or something. Angelos is scrambling down behind him.
Still better than ConEcon?
Asks Grantaire, mostly just for something to say.
The mall is a central fixture of American society,
Angelos recites.
Yeah.
Grantaire stands there trying to do the math on how long he must have been asleep. You'd think even a shitty video would, on some level, be more of a laugh than hanging out with someone who's not even conscious.
Sorry I wasn't better company, he says awkwardly. It's fine, says Angelos. And anyway,
the door swings open.
You two need to get going, says Fantine.
And then,
morning's newsy,
to Grantaire. It's no honey, but he'll take it.
Thank you so much,
Angelos says, with his customary earnestness.
For everything.
Not a problem, kid,
she says cheerfully.
Literally my job.
Tell that to the Thursday-Friday nurse,
thinks Grantaire.
Hey now, he says. You're the best and you know it.
I am pretty great,
she admits, with the same smile she used to give him. Grantaire smiles back. He can't not.
You've got English next, right?
Says Angelos at his shoulder. Grantaire nods.
Come on, I'll walk you.
From the way Fantine raises her eyebrows, he's just earned himself major points in her book.
Nice to meet you, Angelos,
she says.
Can I talk to Grantaire first for a sec?
Sure,
says Angelos. He touches Grantaire lightly on the arm.
I'll be outside.
They've done a million things more intense than a gentle tap to the forearm, but for some reason, Grantaire still needs to collect himself before he can pull off a decent, yeah. When Angelos has shut the door politely behind himself, Fantine turns back to look at him.
So,
she says,
it's been a while.
Grantaire nods. 3 years. Something like that. He stopped fleeing to the nurse's office once he fell in with Montparnasse and then Eponine, and other options became available.
Good to see you again,
says Fantine.
Even if it was for not great reasons. How have you been?
All right, he says, rocking back onto his heels. You know.
Your boyfriend's cute.
He pauses mid-rock.
Not, totally sure that relationship's gonna last, he mutters.
The floor tiles aren't as stained as the ceiling tiles, which is weird when you think about it. Surely the ground should be seeing more wear and tear. How hard is it to be a ceiling, really?
Grantaire,
she says. He makes himself look up.
High school relationships usually end. Sometimes badly.
Fantine smiles, tough and sad like a bartender in an old movie.
But whatever happens, be good to each other, okay?
I'm trying,
he mumbles.
You're doing fine,
she says. She nudges him, companionable.
Hey, Cosette showed me a picture of Jeanne's shoes. They look incredible. Glad you're still drawing.
He nods.
I wasn't for a while, and now I am again,
he says lamely, and she beams. Well, she'd been worried about him. She'd said so. Come to think of it, he's not sure how he feels about that.
It's, Good to see you too, by the way, he adds, blinking hard.
Okay,
she says.
Give me a hug and get out of here.
Fantine smells like soap, which makes sense, given the vomit thing. She gives him a quick, tight squeeze.
Stop by any time. Headwound optional.
But you're so busy, he protests.
Doing paperwork and cleaning puke,
says Fantine wryly.
Trust me, I don't mind the distraction. Now go, before you're super late to class.
She ruffles his hair on his way out the door. He doesn't want to think about how his hair looks right now. He also doesn't really care.
Enjolras is waiting for him in the front room, leaning against a wall and frowning at a pamphlet. It's titled, In the Know About Peer Pressure, and even the font makes Grantaire cringe. Those are crazy outdated, Grantaire says. Enjolras jumps and stuffs it back into the plastic display rack. He rubs the back of his neck. I could tell. The only thing worse than a PSA trying to look cool is a PSA that was trying to look cool 20 years ago. It's embarrassing for everybody. The jeans? Guesses Grantaire as they head out. And the hair, says Enjolras. And the... Did everyone have braces in the 90s? Was it a law? Grantaire snorts. Maybe they were peer pressured into it. But Enjolras doesn't answer, too busy glaring terrifyingly at anyone in the hallway who looks at them wrong. It's the little things in life. When Enjolras finally speaks, it's low and thoughtful, like he's been plotting it out since the nurse's office. Two things, he says. Grantaire imagines a pair of giant bullet points hovering in the air. Yeah? First of all, I never would have... Enjolras glances back and forth, paranoid as always. Asked you to do this if I'd known you had a history of being harassed. Well, yeah, dude, says Grantaire. I worked that out when you apologized for how I wasn't popular anymore. Enjolras shakes his head. This was never about putting people in danger. It's hard not to want to rattle the cage a little, I don't know. But safety's more important. Maybe it would make sense to tone down the public displays of affection. His first instinct, irrationally, is to be hurt. He has to take a deep breath to remind himself it's not personal. That this is a logical response to a new threat. That, judging from how they spent first hour, Enjolras doesn't seem to have any real issue with touching Grantaire. It's still a shocking move, somehow. Almost a white flag. Is that what you want to do? Grantaire ventures. Doesn't matter, says Enjolras. That's not the priority. Nobody'd hold it against you if you wanted to back off. They keep walking. Grantaire considers this. He considers Jeanne and Courfeyrac flirting at the lunch table, the disgusted looks from the Bible study kids, the impact of his head against the drinking fountain, all the hands reaching out to help him back up. Fuck it. He's done two brave things this year. Might as well try for three. What if, Grantaire says slowly, I don't want to back off. Like, at all. Enjolras reaches out and wraps his arm around Grantaire's shoulders, tugging Grantaire closer, and Grantaire doesn't really have to act when he resumes his usual hold on Enjolras' waist and cranes his neck to give Enjolras a gooey look. Hi, Cookie Bear. I'm 50% sure you've already called me that, Enjolras tells him. Why? Are you making a chart? The mention of charts seems to bring Enjolras back to his invisible agenda. Okay, the other thing, he says. If something comes up, and the stress gets too much and you have the urge to leave? Yeah, I get it. I can contain it for another week. No. Enjolras actually stops walking for a second. No, if it's bad enough that you need to, go. Just bring someone with you, and let me know. He glances down, and Grantaire thinks he's probably mostly seeing the eye, because the line of his mouth hardens. This isn't supposed to be torture. Grantaire can't think of any way to say that it hasn't been without also saying way too much. He settles for cuddling in close and looking as cuddly as possible as they pass the U.S. history classroom.
Grantaire waves cheerily at Mr. Walker, with the hand that isn't on Enjolras' hip. Mr. Walker glares. Enjolras glares back. They don't step apart until they reach the door to English.
See you at lunch, says Enjolras.
Enjoy calculus, says Grantaire. Somehow.
People are staring from inside the classroom, although it could be more for the black eye than the homosexual antics. Enjolras glances over at them and back at Grantaire, and something in the tilt of his head says, are you sure about not backing down, or... And there's only, like, a week of this left anyway. Grantaire can be tough for a week. Tough enough to go up on his tiptoes and risk a quick, light kiss on Enjolras' cheek. It lands almost at his ear, but hopefully that's not visible from a distance. Grantaire can feel his own pulse in his fingertips, but whatever. He drops back down to the balls of his feet and looks up at Enjolras through his lashes. Says, sweetly, thanks for walking me to class, Yogurt Blossom. Enjolras seems caught off guard. His mouth twitches. Anytime, he says. It's not until Grantaire takes a seat and starts hunting around for a pencil that he realizes, somehow, when he wasn't paying attention in the nurse's office, Fantine managed to slip 2 root beer suckers into his backpack. Nice people, man. Fucking wild cards.